Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I think there that Tim wanted to sound like what he thought Adiro might sound like, but we'll get to Schaefer maybe later, maybe in our premium show. In the meantime, Steve, the question, the concerns about hypnotic regression, what do you think?
Yes, just prior to that, just to explain, this young lady, Missy, also experienced shadow people. So she was a classic case of someone that had more than just this missing time experience. But to your point, this lady did eventually make this breakthrough, and it's very interesting to hear it. But when I talked to both her and Alan Godfrey, they both, to their credit, said, I don't know if this really happened to me. They both seem to be aware that of the dangers of going under regressive hypnosis. You know, even if the hypnotherapist is very careful and doesn't ask leading questions, with the amount of media that's out there, God only knows what the subconscious mind might conjure up that has no reality at all. So both of them, you know, heard what their experience was on the tape recorder, but they weren't sure if that's what actually happened. So if there's some way to recover, I guess there are other techniques. But yes, I think it's very dangerous. I might have even, it's very tenuous, I might have had a little bit of missing time near the TNT area once, but I didn't document the time and all that stuff. But I will not go under regressive hypnosis to find out. I just don't trust that. As fascinating as I will admit that it is to hear about some of these experiences, I hesitate to – I would allow people to make their own decision, but I would very hesitate to tell people that you're going to get truth out of these regressive hypnotherapist sessions.
There are so many cases, though, that you were just referring to, and you know, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. You talked about Alan Godfrey and the ugly dog in the UFO, that area that he lived in. I mean, all kinds of legends of the black shuck, you know, the giant black dogs, and the connection with all these other cryptid creatures is that oftentimes the black dog is seen with large glowing red eyes.
Yes. Yes. So that, you know, I think I remember Keel suggesting one time that, you know, sometimes the entity, whether it's a giant bird or a humanoid entity, sometimes they seem to be glowing. He thought, at least he wrote it one time, that he thought perhaps that was an indication that it wasn't a physically real experience, that it might have been some kind of a apparition or projection or something like that. But those are the things we need to be aware of, because for the most part, we don't hear about animals that generate their own glow, except in the deep oceans. I guess there are some exceptions, but that I think that is an indication that it shows that so many of these things are connected somehow. Let me give you another example. I have spoken at the Van Meter Visitor Festival. Now, the Van Meter Visitor was a book researched by Chad Lewis, Kevin Nelson, and Noah Voss, and they found this great piece of, call it history, call it folklore, from 1903 in Van Meter, Iowa, which is just west of Des Moines. And several of the prominent townspeople, from bankers to salesmen or whatever, saw this winged creature that looked something like a pterodactyl. But it had very strange properties. It had a glow, like a flashlight or something, coming from its beak or the horn on its beak. And also, when it was in proximity of some people, it wouldn't just give off an odor, but they had missing time. It's almost like it created amnesia. So you have this thing that you have the glowing light, which shows up in so many humanoid cases, or whether they're red glowing eyes or a light on their chest, or whether they're holding some kind of a weapon or ray gun or device. And you also have the missing time distortion. Yet, sometimes they would see this thing acting like a real bird. One guy saw it close up, to kind of cross the street. It was standing on the top of a telephone pole, and as it moved down the telephone pole, it used its beak, just like a parrot does, climbing down an obstruction in its cage. So again, we get this bizarre paradox. Like the Mothman is the best paradox. It's people see it. There's a certain reality to it. It may even be leaving physical footprints. It just does have physical effects on people, but it's not a likely not a physical flesh and blood being. So then this Van Meter visitor was seen a few times, and it was seen near the mine, and then it was seen with another one and apparently disappeared into the mine, and they actually closed up the mine at one point. So how real was this? Again, you had several prominent people see this thing, but it didn't simply act like a giant bird. It had these other bizarre characteristics. So again, maybe Keel was onto something and some of these other researchers. Perhaps when we see these lights, maybe they're the real aspect of the creature, of the phenomena, but what we appear to see behind it or surrounding it is something that is illusory. Not a hallucination, but something that is illusory, where we aren't really seeing the creature or the thing as it really is.
So how do we deal with this and UFOs that may have different high strangeness aspects to them in a world where people are looking at physical things? You look at a UFO, it's like looking at an airplane. You look at Bigfoot, well, you could see a giraffe over there or a little dog or a Bigfoot. It's the same thing, no difference in terms of your perception. But obviously that's a totally different story. Now, I should mention here that in the new defense budget for the U.S., where they set up this UAP office, one of the things they're looking into, and not something mentioned in the media, by the way, is human effects. Interesting.
Finally, I predicted for the longest time that the government wouldn't acknowledge this at all. And apparently they have a little bit, but if we really hit pay dirt on this with the government research, I will still be surprised.
Well, I'll go along with that, but they're certainly looking for human effects. That, of course, is the influence of Robert Bigelow and the people from his organization, Dr. Kelleher, of course.
Well, remember the coin helicopter incident, where the National Guardsman had a close brush with a UFO over Mansfield, Ohio, and he dove the helicopter down to avoid it, but he knew he was going to hit the ground. But somehow this craft seemed to, I don't know, lock him in a tractor beam or whatever. They both went up. They both avoided the disaster. And there were several witnesses. But afterwards, they started having weird out-of-body experiences. And it turned out the Pentagon was actually talking to Coyne, the leader. He was asking them to find out what the effects were on his men, who else were having these out-of-body experiences. So that's a key figure. That is very, I didn't know that. That's really amazing that they're actually starting to look into that. How much of that will we find out, though, will be made public?
Now, just to give a reference there, that's in a press release from Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida. He was one of the people who spearheaded the drive, with Democrats, too, to include this item as part of the Pentagon budget. So, yeah, we have to see what it means. But the problem with something like that is you see it, you read it, you say, aha, they're getting it, folks. But then there's nobody there at the Pentagon to whom you can ask this question. Yeah. He could think all sorts of different things. He could say, well, it's just another thing. We want to look at human perception, everything else. He doesn't have to say, well, all these side effects and like that. My opinion is if they're asked, they will just spin it away. it's not something they would ever consider to address directly. We have Steve, we have Tim, we have Gene, and we're having a lot of fun, a lot more to talk about. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're going to continue with Steve Ward for the remainder of the show. He'll also join us on our premium show after the Paracast. So let us continue here. So, obviously, Steve, we're looking here at enlightenment on the part of the U.S. Government, but as you say, you don't expect a lot. I don't expect a lot either. I didn't expect anything to come from this Pentagon UFO study, now replaced with another UFO office, which will then be replaced by a third or a fourth or whatever.
Well, so long as Condon doesn't come back and try to not solve the mystery.
Well, right now they've got the Ouija boards back there at the Pentagon to recall him.
Well, that might be give us a little more accuracy, something to look forward to. There are so many interesting cases where, again, I like Tim's remark about legs. You guys remember the Joe Symington, right? And the cosmic pancakes from outer space. Well, I think it was Eagle River, Wisconsin, April 61. Joe Symington is a plumber by trade and a chicken farmer by day. He's finishing up his late breakfast dishes. He's on his farm, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And he hears this god-awful racket. He looks outside and sees a classic UFO, a bowl on top and a bowl on the bottom. And there's a door that's open in it. He goes outside. It looks like there's people in there. Doesn't seem to be too threatening. He approaches, and he sees these men, three or four of them. He said they had kind of swarthy complexions. They were wearing turtlenecks and some kind of a knit cap. And he could see inside, and it looked like, well, it was kind of a grill, like a flameless grill in the background. But anyway, the gentleman that seemed to be the leader hands Joe a chalice or a bucket or something like that, that is like chrome silver. It looks like the same metal that their craft is made out of. And he indicates through gestures, not through telepathy or speech, that he would like water in it. So at least that's what Joe figures. He goes to his well, puts some water in it, and brings it back. And as sort of an exchange, he sees that on this flameless grill, one of them is cooking something that looks like pancakes, and they give him three or four of them. And that's the whole exchange. They close up their hatch, and they take off. Well, there's so many fascinating things about this. In the first place, the Air Force does investigate, and they think that Joe is telling the truth as he knows it, but he must have fallen asleep and had a dream. I'm not sure how he dreamed up the pancakes, but they decided to examine them anyway, a story that they think is not real. They take taxpayers' money and decide they're going to figure out what ingredients are in this pancake. But also, there's a local judge there that knows Joe, thinks he's an honest man, and so he interviews him. And he starts out a little tongue-in-cheek, and he says, Joe, what do these guys look like, little green men? And Joe said, no, Judge, they were swarthy-looking, kind of like Italians. And so I doubt that there was a secret Italian space program at the time, but I don't
know.
Well,
you never know. I mean, we have all sorts of conspiracy theories.
So Kiel reports this in Trojan Horse. He republishes part of a news conference that General Spatz had. General Spatz, one of the big generals of World War II. And somewhere in there he says, and I don't know if he was kidding, I don't know the context, but he says, there's no truth to the rumor that Spaniards are driving flying saucers, but that they're coming from Spain. So at the same time, Kiel says he was getting reports from people that would sometimes see very human-looking individuals that kind of look like some of the men in black that we hear about. But the reports, the individuals reported them, may not have been terribly sophisticated. They would say something like, well, they look kind of European or dark foreign types or whatever, that could have been Joe Symington's swarthy Italians or Spaniards perhaps. But anyway, he's getting these reports. And like I say, there's kind of a similarity possibly to some of the Men in Black reports. Again, doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, to regress here a minute, Jacques Vallée quoted extensively Evans Wentz in The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. Wentz went around in the early 1900s, talked to people about their experience with the little people, with the fairies, one-on-one. I mean, experiences that they said they had in the same way we go around and talk to Bigfoot and UFO witnesses. There was an Irishman that told Wentz that, look, the fairies drink pure water, eat fresh meat, but they never take salt. When the Air Force, according to Vallée, when they examined these pancakes, they were just like terrestrial pancakes, except there was no sodium in them. Now, again, What to make of that, I don't know. But then another really interesting aspect is the water collection. Look, if this is a real case, a real event, who knows? If it happened 100 or 200 years earlier, they would have said Joe had an encounter with the fairies, even though they showed up in a strange metallic chariot. So the water collection is so odd. Did they come down from their mothership and their interior water system fail? Was it to examine? I mean, why would they take an external source of water out? And we know in the literature there's cases where the UFO as a saucer lands on a lake. A hose goes in. There's other cases where they say that they've seen the craft hover above a lake and literally suck water up out of it. There is that tradition. But there's one interesting one that took place in mid-50s in California. John Black and his buddy, they were miners. They were out alone. Over the past month, they'd been seeing a strange craft in the sky, didn't know what it was, thought maybe it's military. At one point, John Black is in the woods. He sees what he thinks is a little boy fishing by the stream. He gets closer, and it's not a little boy. It's a strange entity that's wearing kind of a tunic with buckles. Well, he's dipping a bucket into the water. He takes the bucket and carries the water, goes outside into a clearing. Black follows him at a distance. And this little guy, according to the report, climbs up this ladder into one of these strange craft that they had seen before and collects water in the same manner that the swarthy Italians from outer space got from Joe Symington.
Well, so, I can tell you also why they wanted to eat salt-free pancakes. Their cardiologist told them they had to clean up their diets.
But probably a good idea. Again, you get these crazy connections. But this takes us back to the folklore aspect. When I read people like Jacques Vallée, Joshua Cutchin is a more recent researcher looking into the fairy connection.
Yes, Joshua.
Yeah, good man. He was on my show as well. Great researcher. His notes are so extensive in his book that he has forced me to buy dozens of books that I didn't have. But I agree with both those gentlemen in that we're not suggesting that leprechauns are driving flying saucers, and we're not suggesting that UFO occupants used to sport little green tunics and red caps. So, again, interesting parallels need to be recorded, but what does it tell us? What does it tell us about the reality or the physicality of these things? Are we back to the Phantom Menagerie again, or Monsters from the Id, where these things manifest, but their source, the reason, remains elusive?
We'll have more Monsters from the Id for your edification and entertainment pleasure. No, I'm not serious there. Semi-serious. But we have Tim and Steve and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In just over a week, President Biden will be in office one full year, and Republicans are already trying to issue their year-end reviews on his performance, getting very low marks from high-profile South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
The American people are suffering. Our money is being eroded by record inflation. We're less safe. We're less prosperous. Crime is rampant across the country. Inflation is roaring, and radical Islam is on the rise, and it's due to Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, and Harris. That's the worst governing coalition in my lifetime.
He spoke on Fox News. The U.S. House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot is reportedly going to ask former Vice President Mike Pence to appear before the panel. Several Pence aides have been cooperating with that committee. And you're listening to USA Radio News. East Texas is now bracing for a round of possible tornadoes as severe weather has been predicted in the Houston area in particular, also as far north as Shreveport. The forecast calling for severe thunderstorms, possible hail, flash flooding, damaging wind gusts, and some isolated tornadoes. Despite the current rush that's been going on because of the holiday, fewer Americans are flying these days, as we hear from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
That's according to a Gallup survey which said fewer Americans traveled by air last year than any other year in its records between 2003 and 2015. Only 38% of United States adults polled said they had taken at least one trip on a commercial airliner over the past year. That number is down from the 2006 to 2015 period when 43% to 48% of Americans said they traveled by air.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Monsters from the Id. I still like that, the fact that that is co-creation, isn't it? Because remember that the doctor interacted with the alien hardware in order
yes.
to build this super powerful creature, the monsters of the Id. Quite a sophisticated concept for 1950s style sci-fi. I mean, everything else was pretty straight ahead. Here was something where it was a genuine mystery, and only towards the end of the film do you realize who the real villain is.
Yeah, it was a great MacGuffin. It makes that, I mean, they did a nice job. The special effects and the production values were also great. That made it a really fine movie. But the thing that made it memorable was this great plot line, which anything that can make one think and wonder, it just adds so much to the film. And I think that's one of the main reasons it's lasted for so long. But again, I will admit up front that I don't have that many answers. But you know what? The good news is, I think, that we have made progress. I mean, look, if you look back in the days of APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, Jim and Coral Lorenzen, I used to love to read their books about flying saucer occupants. And I remember there was a 1970s special on UFOs. They had them once in a while. They were interviewing Jim Lorenzen. And he said, now they started to get involved in this early, I think in the early 50s. He said, you know, we thought that in a few years, we were going to solve this mystery. But here it was all the way into the 70s, and they hadn't solved it. And here we are, well past the millennium, and we haven't. But I think we have made some progress in that nobody ever used to talk about these patterns or parallels. It just really didn't happen. They looked at UFOs, cryptids, haunting phenomena all as very separate categories. I have to admit this. When I would get my Fate magazine off the newsstands, I had no use for anything except the UFO article. So I would cut the UFO article out and throw the rest in the wastebasket.
Think if you kept those magazines, you'd have something.
I've replaced them, fortunately.
Okay. You can still kind of do that, by the way, if you check with Phyllis Galdi, the publisher of Fate at FateMag.com. I believe it is FateMag.com. They still have some of those vintage issues available. And they won't soak you for the price, but it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth checking things out because they had such a wide range of material. And to think where that started, how early in the UFO field. Fate magazine. Anyway, let's go on, Steve. Let's continue to theorize about the forces behind this. And what I'd like you to do here is hanging with us with our premium show. Let's focus on Richard Shaver there, because I'll give you a hint. Keep you going. I knew Shaver for probably the last 10, 12 years of his life. Let's go on, Steve, and talk about what's going on.
Well,
Let me bring up something for you, Steve.
Yes.
That'll help you go on here. The interesting thing about the phenomena is just when you think that you maybe have a handle on what's going on, it takes a 90-degree turn and you're left back in the dust again.
Yes. You think, we've got part of this nailed. And then something just bizarre happens. I remember Kiel would entertain some really bizarre notions, like perhaps these were not aliens, but they were coming from a deep ocean. And he didn't publicize any of this. And then the next week, he got a report from somebody that encountered a sort of a Man in Black type individual that appeared to have gills underneath his turtleneck. So there is, again, that goes back to the possible reflective factor and so forth. So, but let's think about that. If that's the case, and it does seem to be the case, Tim, then that's one of the things that would suggest that there must be some kind of a component that deals with human consciousness. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. And again, it's that, that something deep in the collective unconscious, perhaps, that prevents us from understanding what's going on. I think it kind of suggests that aspects of this are pretty much along the lines as Kiel hypothesized. Something I used to say things like we're dealing with psychic projections, sort of a collective human subconscious. But if that's the case, why do we see certain things? We see certain kinds of cryptids, things in the sky. Why don't we see Professor Dumbledore flying on a broom somewhere? These characters out of fiction are so embedded in human consciousness. Why aren't we seeing those? Why is the phenomena selective, at least in a very general sense? Another thing that leads me to believe that there must be some kind of a collective consciousness or human consciousness aspect of it is that when you – I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Utah UFO Display, which preceded The Hunt for the Skinwalker. Junior Hicks was a high school teacher in Utah, in the Uinta Valley area. And Frank Salisbury wrote a book on his research and experiences. You open up the book and you look at this two-page spread of the craft they're supposed to have seen there, and they're all different. You go back into the old SAGA UFO reports and see all these illustrations of these different craft. They're all different. I mean, there are some general similarities, of course. And the same with some of the occupants. I remember one time when we had an informal UFO group, our sort of de facto leader. We were sitting in a restaurant, and he drew facsimiles of the Antonio Villas Boas aliens, the Betty and Barney Hill aliens, and a couple other ones. And there was kind of a similarity in the eyes, for the most part. We're back to the eyes again. He was suggesting that perhaps the outer casing or whatever wasn't, was maybe just for show. But again, there are certain things that, it's like when the devil, a manifestation was the devil, would show up. There's certain aspects of the person that was wrong, not quite right, that would suggest that it was something other than what it seemed. But, so again, I'm going down that road again of the human consciousness and the reflective nature of this. I mean, look at the, look at the ghost lights. Go back in history, and you know you had dragon tracks. You had in one era, if you saw a light going through the sky, it was obviously it was a witch carrying her lantern on a broom. And in another time, they would be called fairy lights. Sometimes they were called Foo Fighters. And sometimes in the great the airplane mysteries, the scare ships, the ghost flyers and so forth. Sometimes people didn't actually see the structure or the craft. They saw just the light. Perhaps that's the only objectively real part of this. But, as I mentioned earlier, there are some, situations. Look, if there's one crashed saucer, one real experience of a crashed saucer, that puts it right into the realm of the physical. And I don't know that that's not the case. I've been very skeptical of a lot of those reports, but I can't rule them out. It does seem to me that there are some cases where we're probably dealing with some kind of an other intelligence. And I wonder if that's the case. Could we hypothesize that they are aware of that we create our own UFOs perhaps sometimes, that there's this mechanism in human consciousness? Would another intelligence be aware of that? And if they were, would they be able to manipulate that? Would they be able to sort of hide what they're doing, create images for us through their force of will or technology?
Another okay. Segment with Steve and Gene and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen.
And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You're almost implying, Steve, there that the force behind all this may be hiding in plain sight. It's right there for everyone to see, but they're manipulating the results.
It might be. I'm suggesting, as others have, that if there were no UFOs or aliens, we would probably still create something. We would probably still be creating essentially a folklore and so forth. But what if there actually is? What if both exist? And I've been kind of entertaining that, and a lot of people don't like that. I understand it, because I didn't like the idea either. But if both those things have some validity, then we can start to explain perhaps everything, or in a general sense to some degree. Again, there's no way to prove it. And the other thing is the messages we get from these beings. I've always been fascinated by channeling as well. George Van Tassel, right, under Giant Rock, and he ran those great spacecraft conventions in California in the 50s, 60s, up to 1970, I think. He taught Trevor James Constable how to channel, the guy that allegedly captured the sky critters over the Mojave Desert with infrared photography. If the thing is, if you go closer to the present, you have Carla Rueckart and Don Elkins, and they're the ones that Carla Rueckart is the one that supposedly channeled Ra. That's like R-A, the Egyptian Ra. And if you look at the messages, there are similar patterns that show up. Some of the names of the entities, some of the things that they claim are going on behind the scenes. For example, different sets of channelers from different eras and from different backgrounds and different geography have said that the bad aliens come from the Orion group, the good ones come from the Pleiades. There are several things like that that keep showing up. Kiel, you talked about the great phonograph in the sky. People would keep getting these messages over and over again, the same stuff. The people that get them, they think that they're the first ones to receive this information, but it's been going on before. So this is just another connection to whatever is going on in the background. Kiel's idea of the superspectrum has always been intriguing. Again, I think he used it as kind of a device, but that there are these energies and things that we can't see, they're beyond us. But when people often will get messages, and it's about the end of the world or a quest or a mission they have to perform, these things are often vacuous and have no substance to them. So I think one has to be very careful about the messages received from the saucermen, from channelers, from certainly from Ouija boards. But even though these patterns show up, well, why do the patterns show up? There must be something, some connection in consciousness where some of these things seem to repeat themselves.
We could be tapping, of course, into a universal consciousness that we all share, but we have different levels of abilities that we could use. And it may be that when we see something in the sky or cryptid or anything, it's giving us a message, but we have to know what the message is. I go back, since we will talk about Shaver during the premium show after the Paracast, about Ray Palmer once saying that flying saucers are here to make us think.
Yes, I remember that. And they certainly are doing that. The other aspect about these messages and people becoming psychic or whatever, sometimes people that have these experiences all of a sudden become sensitive or psychic. Stan Gordon's case, the incredible case in 73, where the craft landed, 15 people in the vicinity at this rural farmhouse saw it. The one man breaks away with his .30-06. He sees the craft on the ground. There's a couple of Bigfoot-like creatures, I alluded to them before, with green glowing eyes, sounding like the sound of a baby. He shoots at them. The craft disappears. And then there's this glow left. The state police come. It's quite an involved story. But what I want to get to is when he's out there showing Stan Gordon and his team what's going on, or describing what had happened. Everything was gone by that time. He had a spell. He started growling and stomping his feet and collapsed. Afterwards, when he came to, he said he didn't remember any of that. What he remembered was a Grim Reaper-type character that gave him dire predictions of the future if we didn't change our ways. And then he became psychic. He was able to predict airplane crashes and that sort of thing when nothing like that happened before. So there's that connection. When it brings us into that, perhaps we're drawn into this super spectrum, whatever that actually means, and we become closer to the phenomenon.
And then we have to wonder what the phenomenon wants of us, if anything. Or if they are here to just mess around with us, that gets to the trickster element that my old friend Chris O'Brien wrote about.
Yes. Where does that leave us? This stuff is endlessly fascinating. I remember a few times back in the 60s and 70s, I wanted to throw in the towel because nobody was making any progress, and there was all this infighting in various groups. But you just pull back in. I couldn't, separate myself from these mysteries and delving into them. I just can't do it.
It's something you could never give up. No matter what you do, you get yourself sucked into looking into this. You say, I'm going to quit ufology or cryptozoology or being a Fortean. And then something happens, inevitably, ham back in it again.
I think it goes to the heart of, very cliche-ish, but it goes to the heart of our existence and the basic questions we ask, why are we here? There is something to all this that is connected to that. I don't think we can, give this up any more than we can give up any kind of quest for knowledge.
Well, certainly we also see glimmers of the future, like we look at flying saucers and say, hey, that's a way to fly. Maybe we could build our own flying saucers, which we have done. Maybe it gives us ideas to take us to the future where we will be flying into space, kind of like Star Trek did in terms of sci-fi.
Perhaps the 1897 airships did that for us in our evolution of flight. It seems like so many of these experiences and manifestations were always a little bit ahead of our progress or whatever, something we couldn't really achieve at that time. One of the things that always intrigued me were these mysterious ghost flyers that showed up in the 30s up in northern Sweden, these giant planes with sometimes four sets of propellers on each wing coming out of the north somewhere. And there's no explanation for it, yet people saw it.
Indeed. Steve Ward, would you tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you work on?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Steve Ward, but I would type in Battle Creek if you want to find the right Steve Ward. I had a Facebook webpage called The Phantom Menagerie. I have a podcast called The High Strangeness Factor on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. And with my co-host Andy Mercer, we explore all these things. And you can also find me weekly on the Mac Maloney's Military X-Files as a correspondent. And I'll be speaking at the Beast of Bray Road Conference again at the end of April. Really looking forward to it.
That's April 2022 for those who are tuning in a little bit late, because this is being broadcast on the 9th of January, 2022. Okay, folks, you can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. You can also find us on Facebook. But Facebook won't let us put the URL for theparacast.com on Facebook because they're screwy. All right, I'm not going to try to get into Facebook stuff, because I'll do a separate radio show about that, and that'll be the technology radio show. In any case, we also offer branded merchandise, where we have the T-shirts and the throw pillows and everything with very fancy Paracast logos, some developed by one of our former co-hosts, J. Randall Murphy. Go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop, and we're going to hear more from Steve Ward on After the Paracast, which is offered to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. For more info, go to theparacast.plus. You get After the Paracast Plus, this show, the Paracast, free of the network ads with a higher quality audio. So it sounds even better than ever. For more information, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to save 20% on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to the Paracast Plus, theparacast.plus. Steve Ward, great meeting you. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene and Tim. It's been a great experience.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.